Does anybody know, and you can say, Pastor Kelly says just about the same thing every Sunday morning. What would that thing be? Dad says, stand up. That is true. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. And I can't stop saying that because that's what's inside of me. And so I encourage you to get into the Word. But what we're going to minister on today is the Word itself. Because what I have learned is that, now go along with me here. Does everyone understand that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? The Bible is a collection of many authors. The same person did not write every book of the Bible. Now, God himself did not get his scroll and write the Bible, but he inspired people to do that writing. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, if I was one of those people that God had inspired to write the Bible, Kayla, there would be a little bit of sass in that. She's going to. My Bible would probably be blinged out, and there would be some sassiness going on because, see, God inspired people, humans, to write the Bible. Now, one of the things, I believe that there's times in the Word that you need to take the Word seriously, and there's times where you need to take it literally. Now, there's also a time not to take it literally, because I'm going to tell you, if you try to pull an Abraham and think that you're going to nearly sacrifice your kid, you're going to get your kid taken away. Okay? Do we all understand that part of the Word? Okay. One of the things that you have to be able to do, and you cannot do it, you cannot learn it any other way but then to get into the Word, is you have to learn how to take the Word and rightly divide it. Rightly know what it's meaning and rightly know what it's saying. I know that in different parts of my life, there's been times where I've read a verse and maybe it meant nothing to me at that season of time. But I know you take two or three more years, maybe you read that verse again and it just jumps out of the Bible at you because there's a season in your life that maybe you're going through that hits you so hard. So you have to know how to get into your Word and how to read it to where it's reading you. You know, I believe that when you get into the Word will get into you. So this morning I want to talk about how a believer takes and digests the Word. Because what I believe is wrong is for us to play Bible wars with people and to argue with people about the Word. I'm not saying be a pushover and let people say nonsense, but what I'm saying is that God's Word was not used to be a weapon, but it was used to bring about peace, solace, understanding, life. So in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 4. And it says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but we live off of every word that comes from the mouth of God." So you're not living off of just what you can eat. How many of y'all like to eat? Me too. Love eating. I mean, if I could just, I want to go to heaven, be by the sweet tea fountain, and I want to eat chips 24/7 up there. But God's not going to let me do that because I'm pretty sure he wants me to worship him when I get there. But I love to eat. There's just certain things I love, and I love eating. But we don't live off of only bread, food. We live off of what he has to say about us. You will not know what God says about you. You will not know what God says about your problem. You will not know what God says about your calling. You won't know anything what God says about anything until you get into his Word. Now, when you get into his Word, you need to be in a Bible-based church. This is a Bible-based church. I will only preach what is in the Bible. If it is not in the Bible, I will not preach it. I will not even preach my opinion. I will preach the Word of God. And that's it. Now, there is religion. I do not consider myself a religious person. I consider myself a saved person, and there is a difference. A religious person would say, now, unless you're wearing women, you can't wear that makeup. You got to put your hair up. You got to wear long this and do this and all that stuff. Look here. I'm telling you right now, women, wear your makeup. Okay? If you like to wear it, wear it. It's going to help you and make you look better. If you don't like to wear it and you're a natural beauty, well, then I'm probably jealous of you because I got to wear lots of makeup. The other day, I didn't have any makeup on, and Jeremiah goes, oh, my God, what's wrong with you? Did you get a sunburn? I said, no, this is just my face. It's not pretty until I paint the barn, Jeremiah. Thank you very much. But I don't wake up pretty. I just wake up, and usually it takes me a while to get to where I'm going to be in a decent mood. I'm not really a morning person. But religion is looking for every way to not let people in. God is looking for every way to say, come to me, all you who are weary, all of you who are broken, all of you who are hurting, come to me. See, and there is a difference. And I am not going to be a religious pastor. I'm going to be a word pastor, and that's just how it is. I want you to be a word people. Because the word says that we do not live on bread alone, but we live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, I care about everybody, and I want to fix everybody. And when I find out that somebody's got a problem, I'm more worried about it than they are most of the time. So what does this verse really mean? We don't live off of bread alone. We live off of what God has to say. So if you're not getting in the Word and you don't know what the Word says, there's a part of you that ain't living. If the Word is telling you we don't live off of bread alone, but we live off of every word that God has to say, then unless you are in the Word, there's a part of you that's not living. God wants His children to be lively, to be happy, to be whole, and He wants you to know what His Word says, because when you know what His Word says, you're not going to be taken and swayed off any which direction. There's too many Christians that are getting on TikTok, and they're taking that for the Bible. Okay? TikTok is not the Bible. We got that? I just bursted a bunch of bubbles. I'm sorry. Google is not God. How many of you have ever been on WebMD? Oh, come on now, guys. Be honest. Here's the problem with the internet, is when you want to have a specific problem, you can just type something in, and it'll, you know, I was in the medical field for 15 years, and the one thing that they told people is get off of that WebMD. You can say, you know what, here's what I'm certain of. I know so much about the medical field that if I wanted to have a specific thing, I would know the diagnoses, I would know the symptoms to say, to go in there and try to get my doctor to come along with me and tell me that that's what I had. Now, they may run some tests or whatever. But see, you got to know what the Word says. You cannot rely on anything other than the Word. Now, do I use Google to look up scriptures and stuff? Absolutely. But Google is not my final call on whatever. Neither is TikTok. Neither is Instagram. Neither is Facebook. Somebody said, I saw on TikTok where the world was going to come to an end and blah, 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 blah. We are not going to Y2K again, okay? Because when the Word says that nobody knows the day or the hour, that's what the Word says. And you can take that literally and seriously. Amen. So you're living off of what God says about you. The only way you're going to know what he says about you is for you to get into the Word and figure that out and get it planted in your heart. Go with me now to Acts chapter 17. And it says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. If you think that you got anything on your own, you're wrong. He gives everything. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. How many of you like air conditioning? Do you want to go back to where it doesn't exist? Okay. So God loves you so much that I'm going to read you his word one more time. He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God knew what era to put you in. He knew what generation to put you in. He knew from the beginning of time that you would be born. He knew it all because he's God. So when you are in your life and you don't have answers, you don't need to go to anybody but the source, and the source is God and his word. And it says, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Verse 28, for in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So the first verse that we read, we saw that man doesn't live by bread alone, but we live off of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now we've read a verse that says, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. If you step out of any of that, there's a part of your life that there's going to be a disconnect. If you're going to live, live in him. If you're going to be in him. If you're going to move in him. The problem with believers is their lives get off kilter because they made moves that God was never into. I'm going to say that one more time. Some of the problems with believers these days is they made moves that God was never into. And because he was not into them, he did not bless them. Now what happens when you find yourself in a move that you made and you say, ugh, God wasn't in that. What do I do now? Look here. Don't overcomplicate it. Stop right there. Don't make no more moves and just say, God, I surrender. I messed up. I'm not too proud to tell you. Get me back on track. Amen? But in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 12. I'm going to read this in a few translations, and I'm going to begin to teach you things that I do in the Bible. So, when I read out of the Word, I have this Bible. This is a red Bible. It used to be pink because I've had it since 1996. Look here, Kayla. December the 23rd, 1996. This used to be pink. Now it's red because we got it a facelift. Nobody's laughing about that. Well, you're going to have to get not so serious today. But when I'm reading, there are times where even when I'm reading out of this, and I've had this Bible since I was 10 years old, but even when I'm reading out of that, there are things that I want them to be more clear. Now, how many of you have a smartphone? Good. I hope it's off right now. But I have a Bible app on my phone. And if I'm reading a verse and I want it to become more clear, I will get up the Bible app and I will look at the verse in the CEV version. And that is a very plain English translation. Because I want to understand what I am reading. Because only when I can understand something can I live by it. Can I apply it? How many of you were good in algebra? God. Thank God for the calling of a pastor because, oh my gosh. I passed that with like the very lowest of a D that you could get. Don't tell me that numbers and don't tell me letters belong with numbers because I don't agree. Because that is confusing. But you talk to Frank, it makes perfect sense to him. So, in Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 12, and I'm going to read it in two translations. For the word of God is living and it's active. Okay? I say this verse almost every single Sunday because I'm trying to get everyone to where they know that this is not just a dead thing. This is a living thing, and if you will apply it to your life, and if you'll put it into your life, it will come alive for you. So it says here, for the word of God is living, and it is active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. Okay, so let's pretend this is a sword. All right. So it just said that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So right now, this is a one-edged sword. It's only got one part of this blade. So if I'm trying to cut something, I'm not going to turn it around and try to cut it on this part that is not a knife, right? So the word says that the word is sharper than any double-edged sword. So if you had the sharp part on both sides, you better be careful with that because it's going to cut something. With anything that you do. Now, the word, it does cut. And I'm going to show you how it does, and I'm going to tell you why it does. It says that it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. See, the word will divide you. Because, see, when you're in the wrong, and the word tells you that you are in the wrong, that word is going to cut down to that part where there needs to be a separation between you and the sin that you've been doing. Amen? See, the word, because it is living, when you put it inside of you, how many of you know that we all sin? Can we all know that. We all do. Now, ain't nobody going to come up in this church and be like, I'm perfect, because you know what, I just don't believe it. And if anybody was, it'd be Sister Millie. That's probably it. But the word itself is sharper than a double-edged sword. So because it's living and because it's active, when you put the word in you, that word is going to cut you. Where is it going to cut? To the part of you that ain't right. To the part of you that ain't right. To the part of you that maybe that secret sin wants to sit there and put up a tent in there and stay. See, the word will divide you and cut you because it will not allow you to go on and keep doing the same thing. So it says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it says it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. This word judges your thoughts. And it judges the attitude of your heart. I mean, if you know, a pastor's got to love people. Bernie's like, yep, that's why I ain't one. I'm just kidding, Bernie. There have been days I got to be able to just keep it real with y'all, because what the thing that's not going to help you is if you put me on a pedestal and think that I'm not a person. That's not going to help you. But if I can show you that I'm a person and I have the same problems, if not worse than you, that will help you. Because you will realize we all just people. There are some days on my bad days, Janet, where I can't stand people. Do y'all have those days? Well, by golly, it looks like we're all people here then. Johnny, I've just got my days where I just can't stand them. And those are the days I don't go in public. But because I've got the Word inside of my life, that Word judges this mind. And I say to myself, and I put my hands over my mind, and I say, God, I'm not being a very good pastor right now. I can't stand people today. Please help me. Lord, wash over this mind that's just gotten aggravated with folks and help me. See, the Word is going to judge your mind. The Word is going to judge your heart, and it's going to judge the attitude. That's why you need the Word in your life. And so it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now I'm going to read this verse in the Amplified Version because it's going to bring out a better understanding. This what I read here, it's pretty plain. I'm going to read it more plain. For the Word of God is living and active and full of power. The Word of God is full of power. You want your life to be powerful and meaningful? Get this Word in your heart and get it in your life and get it in your mind. A lot of people say, well, how did you do this? How was a little church able to do this? I say, you know what? We are not a little church. We are a growing church, and that is the state of the church. And I didn't do none of it. God did it all. And it's because he's so powerful that he was able to do it. So it says that his Word is full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. See, the Word is effective. The Word is effective. The Word will affect you, and the Word is effective. You ever try something and you thought, well, that didn't work. It wasn't effective. The Word is not like that. The Word has a 100% accuracy. So it says here, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature. The deepest parts of our nature. How many have ever been going through a battle and that battle exposed some things to you about yourself? I've gone through things before only to find out that I had some things inside of me that weren't good. See, the Word will expose the very deepest parts of your nature. That's why you need it inside of you. There have also been times, Kayla, where, you know, sometimes you get enemies or people that don't like you. How many of you have any enemies? Okay, well, you know what? You may have some in your life. Don't lose any sleep over it. Not everybody's going to think you're great. But there have been times in my life where I've seen God deal with my enemies. And in that moment, Tanya, I thought, boy, I'll be so glad when God finally deals with them. And then, when I felt like God was dealing with them, I was at the altar, dear God, if my enemy is suffering because of what they've done to me, God, I'm going to ask you to make them not suffer no more because, God, I don't want to see them suffer. See, there's been times where the battle has made me realize that, you know what, Kelly? There's some good up in there also. But the Word will expose what's really in a person because it will expose your nature. I've got two boys. This morning was like a zoo. And I think it's a miracle when I can get behind this pulpit and preach after I've dealt with them in the mornings. Because the fact that we weren't in the ER is a miracle. But see, my kids, they both got a nature about them. Coco's nature is he will take it and take it and take it and take it because he's a sweet person. But the moment that he has had enough, that kid has had enough. Carson, his nature is he's going to pick and pick and pick and pick and pick and pick until somebody backs him down. Well, today, we got a big old glass shelf. And I bought like one important thing from Disney World when we took them, and it was a picture of us. And that picture was expensive. Therefore, the reason I had it up high. Well, Carson, for about an hour this morning, was nitpicking Colton. Just nitpicking, just wouldn't stop making fun of him, wouldn't stop bothering him. I'm sitting there getting ready, trying to bedazzle myself, and all I hear is just a bam, and stuff just starts falling. And we go out there, and here's Colton, and he's just crying. And here's Carson, and he's just laughing. And that is the nature of the two boys. And I said to Colton, I said, I'm going to tell you something that if you'll keep this all your life and apply it now, you're going to be a better person. Do not allow other people to make you react in a negative way. Because you stepped out of who you were to get at your brother. And now you're both in trouble. I'm going to tell that to everybody here because, see, that same life lesson applies. Get in this word and let it define you as a person. And when life gets hard and when people get rough at you, do not step outside of the word of God and what the word of God has told you to do and to be. Do not step outside of that and lower yourself to other people and give an eye for an eye. Amen? It's hard to not do that. Because when you've had enough, you've got enough. But you know what? When you get enough, you just say, Daddy God, I've had enough. He will defend you. He will uphold you. And he will back you. But get into his word. Go with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And Bub, I think that should be in the King James. I'm going to tell you, these sound guys have the hardest job in the place. They are amazing. I'm thankful for them. Now I'm going to get up here. Because this we need to go word upon word. Because it's never about how much of the Bible you can read in one sitting. It is about how much you can get up in that heart and apply it to your life. Study. What are we studying? The Word of God. The Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You're not going to be approved just because you're a good person. You're not approved just because you came to church. You're not approved because you helped the church do whatever everybody helps the church do. You got to study the word and study and say, God, how do you want me to live? God, how do you want me to respond? God, how do you want me to raise these kids? God, how do you want me to be in my marriage? God, how do you want me to do it? I need to study that to show myself approved. This brings me back. Perfect example. I remember taking semester tests. Mary, you're going to love this. Shelly should be here. Y'all had semester tests. You remember your semester tests? Them were awful. Okay. We were in a semester test. And I don't know how Shelly done it, but she found that answer key to the semester test. and she sold it. We all bought it. None of us studied. The whole class. The teacher found out that happened, but he didn't get on to us like he normally would. He didn't say, "I know that y'all did blah, blah, blah." Nope. He just let us all think we had the answer to that test. So we get there to this test, and we all start putting them answers down, and I'll never forget it. Ben Green, who I went to school with, he said, "Mr. Knight, are you sure you gave us the right test?" And he busted us right then. He changed that test. We all failed it. And they were all ready to get Shelley after that. But study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How many of you have ever done something against the Word of God, and after you did it, you were ashamed of yourself? Amen. See, there's a way around that. And here it is right here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If you will get into the Word, and the Word, you let that Word get into you, you're going to do less and less things in your life out of a knee-jerk reaction. And you're not going to be ashamed of your moves, because they're going to be God moves. But here's the important part. When you begin to study the Word, there's a part, and very mature Christians, they know how to do this. I know, Brother Mike, this microphone has never done this to me. They not only have to run the sound, but they have to put up with me, and that's the hardest part of the job. Okay, rightly dividing the Word of truth, to rightly divide that. So when we're in the Word and we're studying the Word, we need to know how to rightly interpret it, how to rightly divide it, how to rightly weigh it. Have you know we're not going to be sacrificing a bunch of animals thinking we're getting anywhere, right? There's things that you have to know how to rightly divide the Word. I was talking to someone this week and they were telling me what the Word said. And I just very respectfully, I said, "You need to go home. And you need to read your Bible again." Because, see, the truth will set you free, and that's the only thing that does. And it says, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You cannot make the Bible say what you want it to say. You cannot twist the Bible to let you do what you want to do. But you do need to know how to rightly divide it. You know, in the Bible it says, you don't need to wear braids or gold. That was a cultural thing back in the day. How many of you got on gold today? Anybody? You're not going to hell because of that. Just going to let you know. You're good, McKenna. If you come in here tonight and you got a braid on, you're good. That's called rightly dividing the Word. Carson, he does this thing, and I'm trying to break him of this because he's a smart aleck, and it's not going to serve him well. But I'll say, "Carson, you've been bad this whole morning. Go sit on the couch and don't get up." Then, 30 minutes later, I'll say, "Carson, I want you to go and into your bedroom and pick up everything off the floor, get the dirty clothes and the laundry hamper and blah, 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 and fix and do the laundry." And he'll say, "You told me not to get up, so I can't do none of that." Anybody ever have that happen with their kids? Okay, that must be a kid thing. They all do it. Well, that is how some believers are with the Word. And what we do to people is we kill our own with that. Because we are so religious and self-righteous. I'm asking you to not be that way, because I'm asking you to get into the Word until the Word gets into you to where you understand how to rightly divide it. Go with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Rocky, I'm glad that you gave Brother Angelo these gummies because he is thoroughly enjoying them. I was like, what is that rattling? Does anybody else want some gummies? Because she's got them. Everybody in the church has them. Hey, well, good. You know what? We had a candy lady way back in the day when I was a kid, and her name was Peggy Parsons, and you remind me of her. Thank you for being the candy lady. And when you were gone, we missed you. We did. We missed y'all. A few weeks ago, Jack said, what can I do? I want to serve my church. What can I do? I said, well, Jack, I mean, I don't have anything right now. I said, the only thing I can think of is I got to get these weeds out of this flower bed. In no way. Jack, how old are you? 86. I was not thinking that I was trying to get Jack to do that at 86 years old, but I had to come back to the church on a Sunday afternoon, and there Jack was, bent over in the flower bed on his hands and knees, picking them weeds out of the thing. So when you got a sniffle, don't think I'm taking that sniffle like you're dead, because you're not. Get up, do what God says. Be who you're supposed to be. You don't get a day off of living a Christian life just when things get rough. I get it. I understand it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture, all of it, every bit of it, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The problem is people do not want to hear the Word, because the Word will correct you. The Word will rebuke you. The Word will train you, and the Word will teach you. Please be teachable. Please be teachable. And if you don't agree with what you're being taught, then I encourage you to get in the Word and see for yourself if you're being taught something that's not of God. Because it is not enough for you to just sit here on a Sunday and hear me for 45 minutes. You best know what's going on in your life for you. And I can't know that for you. Go with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 14. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. There are so many ignorant arguments that should never even gotten started. But people like to argue. I have a good opportunity to argue with people all the time. I've just gotten tired of taking that bait that the devil gives me. The best sermon is one that's just lived out. See, because you're not going to change people's mind just by word slapping them with the Bible. Because that doesn't work. It is not effective. But if you will live it out, if you will live it, that's the best thing that you could ever do. But you got to know the Word to be able to live it out. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed of who and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is the word of truth. The Bible tells us to correctly handle it. To correctly handle it. When Johnny took me up there to forklift shop, so Johnny, my worst fear is that I'm going to get on that thing and I'm going to run right through their building, and I'm scared of that. And he said, we're going to make sure that by the end of your visit with them that you are on that forklift yourself and that you are doing that yourself and you understand it. By the time I left, I was correctly maneuvering that thing. And I have never been more proud of myself. Because I don't even, the guy said, well, it's like riding a lawnmower. I just laughed. I said, I don't do yard work. What do you mean it's like the riding lawnmower? I wouldn't know a thing about that. And he just laughed. Well, I don't ride a riding lawnmower, but I can drive a forklift. Now, am I as good at it as some people? No. The other day, we got a freezer delivered to the Manna Center, and they needed me to get that forklift out of the way, and I was by myself, and I thought, great. And I thought, you know what? God is going to help me move this forklift so them people can get that freezer in that little nook. By golly, I got it. The walls are still up in the Manna Center. Everything is still intact. I didn't break nothing. And I was so proud. But see, you got to know how to correctly handle the word. There's too many Christians that handle it incorrectly. And that is a dangerous thing to do. So I'm going to continue to read on. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. You know, sometimes we wonder how we've gotten so far gone. It's because we've had a lot of godless chatter. Godless chatter. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. I want to bring out a very important point, and it is not those guys with the weird names. But it is, in fact, the place where it says, and they destroy the faith of some. We can destroy other people's faith just by incorrectly handling the Word of God. We have to be careful what we say to people, because we're going to affect people either in a good way or a bad way. But we're accountable for what we say. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, "The Lord knows those who are His." If you're His this morning, God knows you. He calls you by name. I encourage you to get into the Word, to rightly divide it, to not use the Bible as a weapon to hurt people, but use it to help people. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. You know, I felt inspired to preach this message because we live in a society where people, they want to get into the Word, but they won't make time to do that. If you'll make the time, if you'll get it put inside of you, it will change your life. I'm asking you to not be a religious person. I'm asking you to not be a religious person. I'm asking you to be a saved person. There's a difference. And at the end of the day, you know, the Word says, and you will know them by the fruit that they bear. We're all bearing fruit. Every one of us. Let it be God fruit. Let it be fruit that when somebody that's not saved, or maybe somebody that's whatever, when they look at your life, they say, that looks pretty tasty. I want some of that. Not, you know how many people look at Christians and they say, I don't want to be that because those people are awful. Be somebody that, you know, the Word says that you are the salt of the earth. Salt makes people thirsty. I'm asking you to make people thirsty for Jesus. Love on people. Y'all stand to your feet this morning. How many of you like lemonade? Okay.